This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. Psychedelic. It's a Greek word meaning mind manifesting, first used by the English psychiatrist Humphrey Osmond back in 1956. This was the doc who dosed novelist Aldous Huxley with mescaline. Huxley would later write The Doors of Perception about that experience. People have been using plants with psychoactive properties for long before that. Peyote, a cactus native to Mexico in the southwest U.S., is believed to have been used by humans for 5,000 years. But how much do scientists know about these chemical effects on our brains? Well, perhaps a whole lot more soon, now that UW-Madison is offering a new master's program to study their use. Would you be interested in psychedelics as a treatment option? Doctors, what would you want to know before you would consider prescribing them? What research needs to be done? We're at 1-800-642-1234. Cody Wenther is an assistant professor of UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. He's the director of the school's new Psychoactive Pharmaceutical Investigation Master's Program. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Tell us about this master's program. What exactly will it train students to do?
Yeah, the master's program is the first of its kind. We're very excited to offer it. It's designed as a fully online program that's going to train students in the use of psychoactive pharmaceuticals, which includes psychedelics, dissociatives, cannabinoids, many of these other growth areas, to try and understand the science and the clinical practice behind how these medicines are used. We're particularly interested in training students to enter the growth pharmaceutical industry surrounding the use of these substances, providing them with the tools to understand the data and also to work in an ethical manner and adhere to all the regulatory pieces surrounding the use of these compounds.
So your students would go on to gain their master's through the pharmacy school, and they would work for pharmaceutical companies that were interested in developing these treatments?
That is the primary target for our first cohort of students. Yes, that's correct. So there's a number of companies that have developed around this space, both with psychedelics and with cannabis, as well as a lot of not-for-profit institutes, including the USONA Institute here in Madison.
Sure, founded by the Promega founder.
That's right.
So what's the legal framework at play here? We know that some states have decriminalized, maybe even like Oregon legalized the use selectively, but I have to imagine there's a lot of red tape around getting access to these substances. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, there absolutely is. So in addition to heading up this master's program, I also have a research lab within the School of Pharmacy, as do many of my other colleagues who are teaching in this program. And so we are, you know, required to have Schedule 1 licenses to work with these compounds. Schedule 1 meaning these compounds currently have no medical accepted use, according to the DEA. And that is, as you point out, a little bit at odds with how these compounds are being treated in a legal framework in some of our states, and also a bit at odds with some of the guidance now coming out of FDA. So both MDMA, which is commonly called ecstasy, as well as psilocybin, which is the active component in magic mushrooms, have been designated as potential breakthrough therapies for the treatment of PTSD and depression, respectively. So you can see there's a little bit of tension between how the DEA is continuing to classify these as Schedule 1 drugs with no accepted medical use, but the FDA showing overtures regarding the promise that these therapeutics or potential therapeutics are exhibiting in early stage and later stage clinical trials.
So is there enough of a supply chain to get you the manufacturing of these drugs that you can use legally?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the things that USONA Institute it's part of their own personal mandate that they've put out, is that they have a very open science model. And so they've helped support the manufacturing of pharmaceutical grade psilocybin. And that's some of what we're using in my laboratory as well as in the trials.
We're speaking with Cody Wenther, assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Pharmacy, and he's the director of the school's new master's program that will prepare students to research the therapeutic effects of psychedelics and other psychoactive substances. Do you have a question? We're at 1-800-642-1234. So, Cody, you mentioned PTSD and depression. What other promises do you think these drugs hold?
Yeah, I think those two have the most data right now in regard to potential indications for these therapeutics. So MDMA is in those very latest stage of clinical trials for PTSD, psilocybin in the phase just before that for depression. But other areas that we're studying here at UW-Madison that are a bit earlier but show a lot of potential promise are use in substance use disorders, things like opioid misuse or methamphetamine misuse, which, as we know, have been causing lots of morbidity, right, deaths and mortality over the previous years.
Huge.
Talking about tens of thousands of deaths, you know, per year, just with the opioid epidemic alone. So those are some, that's one big area. The other big area that received a lot of interest is anxiety, and particularly end-of-life anxiety for those individuals who may be facing a terminal diagnosis. Some of the earlier human trials were actually in patients with terminal cancer diagnoses, and use of these compounds with psilocybin in particular, with a single dose or two doses combined with psychotherapy, showed huge improvements in those patients' anxiety, quality of life.
So how do they actually work? How do they help people?
That's a great question. Some might say, you know, billion-dollar question. And we know a lot more about that than we once did. But there's a few layers of how these compounds are thought to work. So the first thing to recognize is that there is a little bit of a different framework for the application of some of these psychedelics than many of our other psychoactive therapeutics, where instead of just getting a pill and calling it a day, the use of these compounds is embedded within a psychotherapy framework. So people get prepared with a trained therapist to what to expect. They're provided with guides who will help them through the experience as it's occurring, and then there are integration sessions afterward. So it's likely an interaction of both what the drug itself is doing as well as that psychotherapy is the first layer we should talk about.
Sure.
The next layer down is what the drug is actually doing. And one of the things that I find really fascinating about these compounds is that they change the connectivity between regions of the brain. So regions of the brain that may talk to each other a lot normally tend to talk to each other less while these compounds are on board. Regions of the brain that don't talk to each other very much talk to each other more when these compounds are on board. And they even change the structure of the neurons, right? Those are the cells that make up your brains, causing new growth and reforming the spines that make up synapses that help those cells communicate, which is one of the reasons we think that people can have new learning, growth, and experience.
Interesting. We're speaking with Cody Wenther. He's an assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. And you're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Molly Stentz. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're speaking with Cody Wenther, an assistant professor at UW's Madison School of Pharmacy. He's the director of the school's new Psychoactive Pharmaceutical Investigation Master's Program. It's a two-year program, which the UW says is the first of its kind in the country. What do you wish we understood about psychedelics and their potential medical uses? Join us. We're at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us ideas at WPR.org. www.ideasnetwork.org. Cody, you were talking about opioids and the potential for psychedelic use there, maybe for folks struggling with addiction issues. Can you explain how that works?
So the potential of psychedelics to treat substance use disorders is certainly earlier in its study than for some of these other disorders that we've been talking about. So we'll have to see in trials whether or not this actually ends up helping people in a robust manner. What we can say is it's probably very likely safe to treat them with these compounds because they've been shown to be safe, you know, this far in treatment of a number of psychiatric disorders. But to go back to your central question there, which is how might they act to work in opioid use disorder and other use disorders, one of those things that we were talking about earlier was the idea that certain areas of the brain talk to each other more commonly than other areas of the brain. And in addiction and other substance use disorder issues, including opioid use, over time, certain regions of the brain associated with reward become stuck in the same pattern, that they talk to each other too much and that they continue to press people to seek out the substance. And some of that rewiring that we were talking about earlier may be useful in breaking up those negative maladaptive patterns of behavior that people are exhibiting when they're seeking out opioids and, you know, ultimately progressing to harmful addiction.
So how long do you think it's going to take this country to fully embrace the work that you're doing and the research that you're doing?
I think we've seen a lot of positive change in terms of openness to asking the questions. And I think that's the most important first step, is for us to not get caught up in the hype and say, this is absolutely a 100% guaranteed cure for all of societal ills. I think that's a mistake. But I also think it's a mistake to ignore the promise that these compounds are exhibiting. And so what our program does and what we as scientists do is weigh the balance of the evidence, look at safety and efficacy. And I think there's been a lot of positive movement towards allowing us to do that sifting and winnowing to find the truth that we at UW are so famous for.
Sure. And Cody, we have a caller joining us now that has a question for you. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi. So as someone who has complex PTSD, I'm just curious as to a more in-depth explanation of what they're studying in regards of therapy for PTSD through psychedelics. I've seen like some examples of exposure therapy and things like that. Could you go more into that?
Great question.
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much. Great question. So our trials with PTSD here at the UW are with the compound MDMA, which, as I said, is sometimes commonly called ecstasy. And that's a trial sponsored by MAPS. And it's in phase three. And the model for that is, again, the psychotherapy, psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy model, where patients are brought in with a counselor. They talk about the origins of their PTSD, what their feelings are related to the triggers that may be causing their PTSD, and get a sense of the person, the self. And only then, after they've been prepared for the drug administration itself, are there three doses of the MDMA in the presence of the therapist. And then there's also the integration sessions afterwards, where they talk through the insights that were gained during the drug sessions themselves.
And you mentioned the clinical trial is in phase three. How large is that?
We're talking about hundreds of patients in a phase three trial. I don't have the exact number in front of me right now, unfortunately.
Okay. And are you collaborating with other, is there other research being done at other Big Ten universities on this issue?
There's definitely research being done across the country on this issue. Some of the big players that have been working on this include Johns Hopkins University, NYU, the University of California, Berkeley, and others. Actually, Purdue University, which is my alma mater, had a famous medicinal chemist, Dave Nichols, for many years, who has taught us a lot about how these compounds actually work to bind at their target, which is a particular serotonin receptor, and help us to understand the science behind the chemistry and how it fits with the biology.
Sure. How do you find people to be participants in your trials?
So calls for the trial participation go out like other clinical trials. They're posted on clinicaltrials.gov. You can look up different clinical trials that are ongoing, contact the sponsors or the sites to get involved. For many cases, the psilocybin trials have filled up, the psychedelic trials have filled up very quickly. There are some limitations to who is eligible for these trials. We do want generally medically healthy people because we are still in the investigation phase and want to make sure that we're using this in a safe population. But there's been enormous enthusiasm from a lot of people who aren't getting the benefits they desire from their current therapies to join these trials. And that's exciting to see. But one thing that I think can be improved in this space for sure is the diversity of enrollment in these trials. There's been less diversity and less representation of normal Americans than is desirable in these trials.
Sure. Well, Cody, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yes, thank you so much. Anyone who's interested can apply by July 31st for our fall 2021 cohort.
Thank you. Cody Wenther, assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. Just ahead, we look at the threat of cyber weapons and how governments use them. I'm Molly Stenz, and this is The Morning Show.